Hello and welcome to your GCSE Economics Revision podcast. I'm so glad you've tuned in today because we are covering one of the most important and honestly one of the most interesting topics in the whole specification, the relationships between government economic objectives and the policies used to achieve them. This is a topic that examiners absolutely love to test because it requires you to think like an economist, weighing up trade-offs, considering consequences, and evaluating whether policies actually work. So, whether you're revising for your mocks or your final exams, this episode is going to give you everything you need. Let's start with the big picture. Governments have four main economic objectives. Think of them as the four goals every government is trying to hit at the same time. They are low and stable inflation, low unemployment, steady economic growth, and a favourable balance of payments. A great memory hook for these is the acronym GIEB. Growth, inflation, employment, balance of payments. Say it with me. GIEB. Got it? Brilliant. Now, the problem, and this is the heart of the whole topic, is that these four objectives don't always play nicely together. In fact, trying to achieve one can sometimes make another one worse. This is what economists call a conflict between objectives, and it's the source of some of the trickiest exam questions you'll face. Let's talk about the two main types of policy governments use. First, there's fiscal policy. This is when the government changes its spending or taxation levels to influence the economy. If the government increases spending on schools and hospitals, or cuts income tax so people have more money in their pockets, that's expansionary fiscal policy. It's designed to stimulate the economy. On the other hand, if the government raises taxes or cuts spending to slow things down, that's contractionary fiscal policy. Second, there's monetary policy. In the UK, this is primarily controlled by the Bank of England, not the government directly. The main tool is the base interest rate. If the Bank of England lowers interest rates, borrowing becomes cheaper, people spend more, businesses invest more, the economy gets a boost. That's expansionary monetary policy. If interest rates go up, borrowing becomes more expensive, people spend less, and the economy cools down. That's contractionary monetary policy. So far, so good. But here's where it gets really interesting, and where the exam marks are hiding. Let's say the government wants to boost economic growth. They decide to use expansionary fiscal policy. They increase government spending and cut taxes. More money flows into the economy, aggregate demand rises, businesses produce more, and unemployment falls. Sounds great, right? But here's the catch. All that extra spending pushes prices up, inflation starts to rise, and suddenly the government has a conflict on its hands. They've achieved their growth objective, but they've made their inflation objective harder to hit. This is the classic conflict between economic growth and low inflation, and it's one you absolutely must be able to explain in your exam. Now, let's talk about the most famous concept in this topic, the Phillips curve. Named after economist A.W. Phillips, who in 1958 observed a statistical relationship between inflation and unemployment in the UK. The Phillips curve shows that there is a trade-off between inflation and unemployment. When unemployment is low, meaning lots of people are in work, spending money, inflation tends to be high. When unemployment is high, fewer people working, less spending, inflation tends to be low. Picture a downward sloping curve. On the vertical axis, you have inflation. On the horizontal axis, you have unemployment. The curve slopes downward from left to right. Point A is up on the left, high inflation, low unemployment. Point B is down on the right, low inflation, high unemployment. If a government uses expansionary policy to move from point B to point A, stimulating the economy, reducing unemployment, it accepts higher inflation as the price. If it uses contractionary policy to move from point A to point B, squeezing inflation out of the system, it accepts higher unemployment as the cost. This trade-off is fundamental. Examiners will expect you to reference the Phillips curve when discussing the conflict between inflation and unemployment objectives. Let's now think about time lags, because this is a really common mistake candidates make in exams, and it costs marks. When a government implements a policy, the effects don't happen instantly. There's a delay between the policy being introduced and its impact being felt in the economy. For monetary policy, this lag can be anywhere from 6 months to 2 years. For fiscal policy, it can even be longer, because government spending programmes take time to set up and deliver. This matters enormously for evaluation questions. If an examiner asks you to assess the effectiveness of a policy, you must mention time lags.
A government might raise interest rates to tackle inflation today, but the full effect won't be felt until next year, by which time the economic situation might have changed completely.
Now, before we get to exam tips, let me mention one really important idea that candidates often overlook: supply-side policies. These are policies designed to improve the productive capacity of the economy. Things like investing in education and training, reducing business regulations, or improving infrastructure. Here's the clever thing about supply-side policies. They can potentially achieve multiple objectives at the same time. By improving productivity and increasing the economy's capacity to produce goods and services, supply-side policies can boost growth and reduce unemployment without necessarily causing inflation. This is because they increase supply, not just demand, so there's no automatic upward pressure on prices. This is a great point to make in evaluation questions when you want to show sophisticated thinking. You might write, "Unlike demand-side policies, supply-side policies may avoid the conflict between growth and inflation by expanding the economy's productive capacity." Right, let's move into exam tips and common mistakes. This is where the marks are really won and lost. Tip number one, always link your policy to the specific objective. Don't just say the government uses fiscal policy. Say exactly what type, expansionary or contractionary, and explain precisely which objective it is designed to achieve. Examiners are looking for that direct chain of reasoning. Tip number two, always consider the conflict. If a question asks you to evaluate a policy, you must discuss what other objectives might be harmed. For example, if you're discussing expansionary monetary policy to boost growth, you must mention the risk of inflation. This is what separates level 3 answers from level 4 answers. Tip number 3, don't forget time lags. As I mentioned earlier, this is a classic evaluation point that many candidates miss. Always ask yourself, how long will it take for this policy to work, and what might change in that time? Tip number 4, use real-world examples. Examiners love to see candidates apply their knowledge to actual events. For example, you could reference the UK's use of quantitative easing after the 2008 financial crisis to stimulate the economy, or the Bank of England raising interest rates in 2022 and 2023 to tackle inflation that had risen above 10%. Tip number 5, be careful with the direction of policy. A very common mistake is confusing expansionary and contractionary. Remember, expansionary means more spending or lower interest rates. It stimulates the economy. Contractionary means less spending or higher interest rates. It cools the economy. Get this wrong and you'll lose marks immediately. Now, for our quickfire recall quiz, cover your notes and see if you can answer these out loud. Question 1. What are the 4 main government economic objectives? Growth, low inflation, low unemployment, and a favourable balance of payments. GIAB. Question 2. What is the difference between expansionary and contractionary fiscal policy? Expansionary means increasing government spending or cutting taxes. Contractionary means cutting spending or raising taxes. Question 3. What does the Phillips curve show? A trade-off between inflation and unemployment. When one is high, the other tends to be low. Question 4. Why do time lags matter when evaluating policies? Because the effects of a policy take time to feed through the economy, often 6 months to 2 years, so the situation may have changed by the time the policy takes effect. Question 5. How can supply-side policies avoid the conflict between growth and inflation? By increasing the productive capacity of the economy, so output can rise without putting upward pressure on prices. How did you get on? If you struggled with any of those, go back and reread that section of your notes. Retrieval practice, testing yourself without looking, is one of the most powerful revision techniques there is. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of everything we've covered today. Governments pursue 4 main objectives: growth, low inflation, low unemployment, and a favourable balance of payments, GIAB. They use fiscal policy, government spending and taxation, and monetary policy, interest rates, to try to achieve these objectives. The key challenge is that these objectives often conflict. Expansionary policies can boost growth and reduce unemployment, but risk higher inflation. Contractionary policies can reduce inflation, but risk higher unemployment and slower growth. The Phillips curve illustrates this trade-off beautifully.
supply-side policies are the exception. They can potentially improve growth and employment without causing inflation, making them a strong evaluation point. Always remember time lags. Always link policy to objective. Always discuss conflicts and always use real-world examples. You've got this. Good luck in your exams. I know you're going to smash it. Until next time, keep revising.